Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I mean, I feel like I do a lot for community and I do a lot, but I don't know if it's reasonable to expect me to watch Sona. I feel like even medically, it might be a dangerous thing to do. So you know what? Let's get a political preview of Sona and let's find out maybe what we can expect from the political scene. Kenneth Mokgatla, political writer and analyst. A very, very good morning to you. Are you going to be watching it? Are you going to be watching Sona for the team?
Morning, Howard, and the listeners of Morning Mayhem. Yeah, like many South Africans, I'll be watching, but my expectations are very, very low. I think at the start, as usual, he will outline the lay of the land. He will tell us the success of how South Africa was able to lead the G20 in the previous year and how they were successfully held the last conference of G20 when they handed over to the US, and he will continue to give the position of South Africa's foreign policy because we know that it has been in the limelight in concern of how they've been relating with the US and with the other countries which they seek to associate, such as Iran. He will want to justify it and other countries like your Russia and China, and on a domestic front, I think he will focus more on the economy, and then he will talk about employment and unemployment as per usual. I think it's the norm, and how they are going to be creating employment for young people. But in actual fact, we know that they've been unable to do so since he took over in 2018. There have been less implementations of what he has been saying in this occasion of State of the Nation address. We know in his first State of the Nation address, he spoke about the smart city, but until today, there's no a single sign of that, the realization or the implementation of that smart city. So every time he takes a stand and then he talks in parliament, addressing the members of the parliament, most of the things he said there have not been realized.
So, I mean, if we have to hear about these smart cities again, while we have this unemployment, while there is very valid discussion about BEE, while there's valid discussion about our very, very difficult labor laws, while there's issues on South Africa's foreign policy, it's surely South Africans don't have the stomach for this.
Yes, that's the elephant in the room, and they don't want to address it. So they don't want to talk to this laws, which makes it difficult for foreign direct investment to try and woo investors from abroad to come and invest in our economy. So it's been difficult. You know, I've been moving around the Northwest province in the previous 3 days, and I've realized that one of the reasons why companies would not come and invest in the rural provinces such as Northwest is because of the absence of service delivery. There's absolutely no water provision. There's absolutely no roads here for those companies to conduct their business in a very conducive environment. So how do you expect companies to come and invest and create jobs or employment opportunities in an environment like that? You've seen in Gauteng what is happening there, in all metros, but especially Johannesburg, which has got the largest inhabitants in South Africa, one of the cities with more population. There's a water crisis there, and it has been showing signs in the past decade, and it is the DA and the ANC that we should blame, because they've had some share time of leading in that city of Johannesburg. Today you have got the Minister of Water and Sanitation who hails from the ANC, and the deputy comes from the DA, but all of them do not want to take accountability and responsibility for the chaos that they have caused in the city of Johannesburg. So what we are hearing there is just excuses coming from Dada Morero, as well as Banyaza Lesufi, who also boast that when he does not have water, he goes to hotel and access from there. So you wonder as to how are people from the shacks going to access water from hotels, because they don't even have money to buy food.
That was honestly a Marie Antoinette moment. You know, let them eat cake. Go to a hotel to shower. How out of touch can you possibly be? Absolutely absurd. There's obviously different pressure points. Some is crime. Some is the economy. It's jobs. It's all sorts of things. Which would you think is the most critical pressure point? Is it cost of living, crime, jobs, foreign policy? What do you think the largest pressure point would be?
I think all those issues are very pertinent, very important. But the one that I think needs to be given more attention is the corruption that has infiltrated into the government apparatus. You look at the Madlanga Commission and you see how criminal cartels have been able to infiltrate every unit of government. So that is going to take more decades to root out and make sure, because if you have got corruption in government agencies, so it is going to be impossible to attract foreign direct investment. And after addressing that issue of corruption, then you have to address the issue of foreign policy, because it is very important what we do with the outside world, how we relate with the countries outside South Africa. I think we should just take some lessons from Nelson Mandela and his administration between 1994 and 1999. He admitted and acknowledged the ANC's relations with these notorious and authoritarian regimes, but he was also able to manage relations with countries in the Western nations, such as the UK and the US. So it is very important for the ANC to make sure that whilst they maintain relations with Russia and other countries in the BRICS formation, they also maintain relations with the countries from the Western nations, because I think we need them, because you look at the trading partnership, South Africa, the US remains the second biggest trading partner to South Africa. So it is not going to be easy to replace it. And you look at the number of the businesses or business establishment that the US have in South Africa, more than 600, which are creating business and employment opportunities. So how do you ignore and not maintain and manage the relations with such a country?
The fact is that South Africans are very, very disillusioned with the ANC. They're very disillusioned with the president. I personally found it very difficult to even listen to him speak. That's sort of my level of irritation right now. Is there anything that he could say to bring us back, to bring South Africans back into his to being less cynical and more positive about him and governance?
No, I agree with you. I don't think that South Africa's are any much longer patient with the ANC leadership, especially those who take to the podium to talk and recite poems without really implementing any of those things that they are saying. You look at his conduct in the previous 2-3 weeks. He was unable to forward the name of Senzo Mkunu, the Minister of Police, suspended Minister of Police, to the names that he gave of the people who are supposed to be prosecuted and investigated, because he's shielding him. And the reason why he's shielding him is because Senzo Mkunu and Sibiya and others were responsible for protecting him during the Palapala saga. So that is why it's payback time. So the president, like he said about the ANC, that it is the number one suspect. So the president of this country is also number one or number two suspect following the ANC. So he's implicated in many scandals, and we will see after he's removed or he leaves the presidency when investigations will be done against him, when he does no longer have or wield power to control the NPA, to control other agencies of law enforcement. So I don't think that there's anything that he can say which can restore and regain confidence and faith in the people of South Africa, because the people of South Africa have lost faith. They have lost faith in the current leadership of the ANC. And the DA have also lost voice, and they are losing their identity, because we knew when they were not in the GNU, they used to go against and challenge the ANC, even in litigation, take the ANC to court over what they were not agreeing with the ANC.
Very, very interesting. We do need to leave it there, and we will catch up with you. We'll look to you to get a bit of a summary afterwards. But either way, not a lot of you intend watching it. Kenneth Mokgatle, political writer, analyst, researcher, talking to us about SONA, what we can expect from the political scene.